I'm excited to hear tonight's message, aren't you? I really do know what it is. I just don't know how it's going to come forward exactly. I don't know what title, but I keep seeing not just my focus, but the focus of the prayer center. And when I say that, I don't just mean the people physically here, but all of those around the world. If you're watching, if you've attached yourself with this vision, he's calling us to focus now like a laser beam on the assignment that we've been given. And the assignment given to this ministry is so pure, so straightforward, that you can say it in a single sentence. To go far enough into God to bring a supernatural revival to a religious city. That's our focus. That's the assignment that we're going to stand before him one day and give account of the stewardship of our life, whether we gave ourselves to that or whether we did not. And the way we close the Sunday night services every week is when we stand there, Lord, we want to be able to say and have that same testimony as the Apostle Paul. We fought the good fight. We kept the faith. And we finished the race, or you could say the assignment, that you set in front of us. How many of you want that testimony? I do too. If I had to put a title on it now, it may be different by the end of the service, but we're going to focus like a laser beam in tonight on the will of the Father. Yes, sir. We'll start in James. Let's just start in James for a minute. How many of you think Jesus was very focused on the will of his Father? I don't think anything else really. He got involved in all kinds of things, but always at the center of his thinking, at the center of his heart, I must be about my Father's business, the will of the Father. Since we're going into revival, we're going to have to become a people free of double-mindedness. We're going to have to become people that see the Father so clearly and understand his will, focus like a laser beam, that we're not double-minded. And I'm telling you right now, well-meaning religious Christian people, they excel at helping you become double-minded, giving you all of these natural reasons why the miracle can't happen or won't happen or just might happen and might not happen. Well, James says, starting in verse 5, James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And let's just say it with me. When I ask God for wisdom, he gives it to me. Without question, without doubt, James used the word shall. Shall, see? Got that? But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now, the image that comes to mind when I read that verse 6, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Remember in Mark chapter 4, after Jesus taught them about the sower soweth the word, at the conclusion of that, on the same day, he sowed a word into them. And that word was, you could say, This is the wisdom of God. Let us cross over to the other side. They have received their wisdom. They have received their word. And they set out to do it, don't they? Everybody I've ever met gets excited about the message they hear through Pastor Dave, and they set out to go over to the other side. Yeah, until the storm comes. Well, that storm did not come from God. That great storm arose, perfect illustration of this. What was the purpose of it? To make them think they're never going to get to the other side. In fact, what they said, it made them doubt whether God even cared about them at all. You remember what they said? Carest thou not that we perish? You don't even care that we're going to die? See, the mission now has taken second place to survival. Do you know how common that is? When you're up to your armpits in alligators, it's hard to remember you came to drain the swamp. You forget what the mission even is. I'm just trying to survive now. Boy, have I seen that in my own life. I've seen it many times here at the prayer center. It's almost like, weren't we supposed to have revival? I'm just trying to make it. Anyway. Well, since we're going to really have revival, can you see plainly we cannot be double-minded? Jesus, I am convinced, was not double-minded. Now go to John 14 next. And I mentioned this the last couple of services, and apparently he's just not going to let me off of it. The will of the Father. You cannot be double-minded and expect that we're going to operate the way Jesus says we're going to operate. See, verse 12 is our mandate verse. John 14, 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father. Greater works than these. And they just, how about just the same works? Many of you weren't here. This was a long time ago. I wouldn't venture to guess. I just know it was more than 10 years, probably. Long time ago at a conference. I don't remember whether it was March, summer, fall. Big conference many years ago. This lady had come from Canada with a baby that had cancer. And this baby had big knots. How many of you were here? Big knots on its head. And one thing, like Dave says, when it's a child like that, you sure can't blame it on the baby's faith, now can you? Well, you don't have enough faith, baby. What's wrong with you? Well, I never will forget that. That was a life-changing event. What happened? Here we had Pastor Dave. We had all the preachers at the prayer center at that time. We had all these visiting ministers, and many of them operate in power. I mean, there were so many of us, and we gathered and we did. It was just exactly a Matthew 17 event. We did everything that we knew to do. We prayed. We cast out. We did everything that we knew. Dave says it like this, and I think it's perfect. We milked every cell of our being for faith. Yet that baby died. See, there was a time many, many years ago, BD, that's before Dave, many, many years ago, where I would have wavered because I had been taught so thoroughly growing up in a denominational church that you couldn't ever really know if it was the will of God to heal that baby or not, or to heal anybody or not. That's why they always said, we'll pray for Brother Smith, or we'll pray for whatever situation. And at the end of that prayer, Father, we ask you to heal him if it be thy will. And there was a time when I would have just thought, well, that's just one of those times, you know. just wasn't his will to heal that baby. See, but in this same passage here, in John 14, you still there? See, back up to verse 9. And how did they arrive at that conclusion that it's not always God's will to heal? Well, it'd be real easy in a case like that, where you know you've prayed with all the faith you have and everybody else was praying with all the faith they had, and yet the baby died or whoever it was you were praying for died. It's real easy to modify truth with your experience. But see, Jesus didn't give us that option. He says, I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. If you want to know the truth, you can't be looking at your experience. You got to look at Jesus. He is the truth. So he says that here in a different way, but in John 14, 9, he says, well, verse 8, Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and that'll suffice us. And he said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Well, going back to our Matthew 17 account, which you should have it memorized now since Dave has faithfully taught fasting to us every first quarter for 20-some-odd years. We always wind up in Matthew 17. Where that father brought his lunatic son in the King James. Some versions say epileptic, but he had something that caused him to have fits and seizures. Would throw him into the fire, throw him into the water, and Jesus, he was up on the mountain with some of the disciples, and the rest of the disciples who weren't up there, they stayed down below. And these guys had a track record. They had already been healing and casting out devils. This was not something new. In fact, the whole reason the guy brought his son to him is that he'd heard that people got healed through these disciples. So they did like we did with that baby. I'm sure they did everything they knew to do. They milked every cell for faith. Yet you know how it ended. They couldn't get the boy free. They could not get healing for him. See, and I've thought about that story so many times because I thought, if the story ended right there, if it ended there, then all those preachers, and I got to say this, well-meaning, God-loving, soul-winning preachers. These are not evil guys at all. They've just been deceived by religion in some areas. Okay? They love God. If that story ended where they prayed and did all that they knew how to do, yet the boy wasn't healed, then there might be some justification for saying, well, it's just not always his will to heal. See there? It would have been easy. That would have been easy. It would have soothed our conscience, maybe, or our emotions. Because it was hurtful. I mean, the ambulance came, took that baby away. I never felt like such a failure in my life. Well, yeah, I have. I've had other failures just about that bad. What was last week's message for forgetting those things that are behind? Now, Paul remembered, but we don't live there. See, I'm not going to let my past dictate my future. But I'm going to learn from my past so my future will be changed. But thank God in Matthew 17, the story does not end there. Jesus and the other disciples come down off the mountain. He is not happy. You know, I would expect maybe an attaboy. You know, hey, you guys tried. I know you prayed hard and you did everything. You know, I mean, I appreciate you trying. No, there was no attitude like that in him at all. He was astounded. He was saying, how long am I going to be here with you? How long am I going to have to do this for you? I wonder sometimes if I could really hear in the spirit, I wonder if I'd hear that same thing now. I think so. I don't want an ooshy-gooshy made-up Jesus. I want the one that'll kick me in the behind if I need it. Tell me straight to my face if I'm messing up. And help me not be like I am. Is that okay? Please. He says, you bring that boy here to me. And I mean in short order. cast that thing out of him, and that boy was, he was set free, completely healed. Now that's the will of the Father. That lets you know right there. See, he said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. What is the Father's will? What was the Father's will the whole time? That's the Father's will that that boy be healed. We have got to not be, not... Still tongues, thing. If I let it come out, I have to interpret. Hang on. Frosti mekiandole shindera brakubakstole fratomule kiste manka mustaba shutafra frekilia store kanda. For I have sent my spirit to drive double-mindedness away from the midst of you. You shall be a people laser-focused where my will flows through you as purely and clearly as the sunshine through a clear glass window to bring light to a dark world and set the captives free. Jesus, oh, glory, glory, glory. No double-mindedness. I wonder what would happen. Do you ever really, I don't know how you meditate. I've wondered about the next time they come across a real difficult case. I wonder if they remembered that. You know, he sent them out two by two into various cities. He was not with them. How many of you know the Holy Ghost went with them? And he gave him assignment. He says, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, cast out devils, raise the dead. Tell them the kingdom of God is at hand. See, I love that. If something is close, she's close, but she's not at hand. See, I can't touch her from where I am. She's close. And thank God he didn't say the kingdom of God is close, did he? What did he say to tell them? The kingdom of God is at hand. Man, buddy, it's in reach. That means you can have the will of your Father. Thy kingdom come. Part and parcel. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Well, what is his will? Religion taught me plainly. You can't always know. Jesus says, look at me and you can know. Again, I'm just going to recite a couple of facts. Not one time, you study it for yourself, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Not one time did anybody come to him for healing that they did not get what they came for. Now, I did not say everybody around him got healed. That's not true. As he walked through that town where the woman with the issue of blood is, far as I can tell from reading the record there, don't you reckon there was other sick people in that town? Don't you reckon there was others, maybe even with an issue of blood, but surely they had some, there was a, she's probably not, I don't think she's the only sick person in the town. I wonder how many of them had been taught, well, you just never know the will of God. Just, if he wants to heal you, he'll heal you. Just sit there and glorify God in the midst of your sickness. Well, she didn't have none of that. She had heard of Jesus. There's tons of revelation. I bet when she gets to heaven, she probably, oh, I'm sure she's there by now. That's one old woman otherwise. You know how Dave says you're going to hide behind a marble pillar? You see that evangelist walk by, the one that led you to the Lord, your lips will resemble a bathroom plunger. You're going to put a big kiss right on that guy's cheek, you know. Well, whoever it was, you know, it says when she had heard of Jesus, somebody told her. Man, don't you know? She is going to track that person down, hide behind that marble pillar when that person walks by. Mwah! Because that person just didn't give her a wishy-washy, maybe so, you might sort of kind of hope a maybe little bit get healed. Now, whoever it was that told that lady about Jesus, put faith in her. She said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. Glory to God. What did that woman tell her? Or whoever it was. Could have been a person. Whoever. Could have been a person. Could have been a guy. Whoever it was. When they told her about Jesus, they put faith in her. Glory to God, I hope we do the same. I hope we do the same, see. Jesus come down, he healed that boy. And what you'll find out is every person that came to him for healing, every one of them got what they came for. And here's another one. Not one of them did he ever say, yes, it is the Lord's will to heal you, but it's not his timing today. You don't ever find that. You know, I understand why they do that. I mean, you're trying to call it anything but what it is. And what it is unbelief. And it may be that subtle kind, you know, like Dave talks about. This kind cometh not out but by prayer and fasting. The disciples didn't know they had it. Otherwise, why would they ask? Why didn't it come out when we prayed? They honestly didn't know. If anybody else would have told them that it was unbelief, they probably would have called them a liar. But Jesus says, because of your unbelief. And I read that and I go, well, I don't think he'd say anything different to me. Well, I know tonight, though, the focus tonight. And apparently for the last two, hadn't he mentioned the last two or three services? Go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Until an image of Jesus stands up off the pages and walks into your heart. And I don't mean to be saved. I mean, there is no separating Jesus from the will of the Father. If you want to know the will of the Father, what did he tell Philip? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Well, if 100% of the time, every person that comes to Jesus for healing, if 100% of the time they get it, even I start getting a fair clue about the will of the Father. I'm just pretty sure it's his will to heal. And do it today. Not in some far off distant timing. I don't see Jesus ever doing that. Now, could I preach that based on my circumstances? Oh, honey. Easy. It's easy to write your own gospel based on circumstances. That's what most churches have done. That's what most denominations have done. But we're not going to do that. Why? Because we have a mandate from God. If we do that, we'll be compromised too. We got to focus like a laser beam on the will of the Father and not be double-minded. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care if the storm comes in 16 directions at once. I don't care how many you've prayed for already that did not rise up healed. I don't care what it looks like. We're not going to settle for some lesser gospel than what the one that Jesus brought to us. Amen. All right, go to Acts 10:38 for just a minute. You want to know the will of the Father? Acts 10:38 is a good one. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Now, there's so many things to learn right there. Where did the oppression come from? The devil. All that were oppressed of who? Do you know how many sermons I've set in where the end result of that sermon was somehow God was the one that made them sick? But Jesus went around healing all that were oppressed of who? Don't be double-minded. Don't be double-minded. You come up on that person that's sick, blind, crippled, halt, lame, whatever it is, the will of your Father is that they are being oppressed of the devil, and we have been anointed in his name to put it back according to the Father's will. That's what Jesus did. He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now, I see Jesus before he was baptized in the Holy Ghost, walking through Nazareth, growing up there. You know, he didn't get baptized. How old was he? 30 when he got baptized by John in the river? 30 years old. That's 30 years old. So he grew up walking through town. There had to be sick people in that town. I mean, there was surely a blind person somewhere or maybe a beggar on the corner. You know, had to be sick people, hurting people. Maybe somebody in an accident got a leg cut off and now they beg, you know. Maybe lepers. And Jesus is love with legs. I mean, he is, when it says moved with compassion, you reckon he had it? He had that nature that we call it the rebirth, but he had it from his birth. And here he is, the fully mature Son of the living God, full of love, full of compassion. And I try and picture him walking right by that, let's just say a blind person on the corner, begging. I bet he gave him something. I can't prove that. But what amazes me is he couldn't do anything about it. See, in religion, they'll just get so mad at you, they'll get spitting mad at you when you say that. But he couldn't. It's not that he wouldn't. He could not, because he had not yet been baptized by the Holy Ghost. He had not yet taken that, had that event where, see, I'm going to say it again. When he was baptized by John in the River Jordan, that was the coronation day. Symbolically, when John laid him down in the water, Jesus was making a visual vow to his Father. He says, I know why I'm here. I know I was born to die. When John lays me down in the water, Father, that's my vow. I'm going all the way to the cross. I'm going to die in the place of man. But Father, when he raises me back up out of the water, that's also my faith in your word that says, you will not leave my soul in hell, neither shall my flesh see corruption. And when the Father looked on his heart, a gavel came down in the court of heaven and he said, done. Done. In God's mind, right at that moment, even though Jesus wouldn't literally go to the cross for about another 3 years, in the mind of God, it was an accomplished fact that day because God looks on the heart. And the gavel came down, the first Adam is dead. That's why God said, they saw it, now this is my Son. What he was saying, he might as well have said, this is the last Adam. This is the one now anointed with dominion. Let him have dominion. And that's why the Holy Spirit came, descended upon him. From that day forward, he walked. Now, I say from that day forward, he did have to go and succeed in that temptation against the devil. He had to succeed where the first Adam failed. How many know he did? Thank God. And that's why his very first message when he preached after that, found that place in Isaiah where he says, I have been anointed to preach the gospel to the poor, to open the eyes of the blind, and all of that wonderful passage there. And he was, but he had just been anointed. Now, let's go back just before that event, though. Here's Jesus walking through Nazareth, and a blind person right there, full of compassion, full of love, knows the Father's will, by the way, but he can't do anything about it. Why? It's not the new nature that does the miracles, people. It's the Holy Spirit that does the miracles. The Holy Spirit is the finger of God. He's the, I like to call him the molecule changer, but he's more than that, way more than that. But now here's the other thing. I don't know how you picture this, but see, I also see the Holy Spirit, if it's possible, walking through town. Holy Spirit, God the Holy Ghost, walking through Nazareth, if that's possible. Let your meditator, Cole says, Papa, Cole's my grandson. Papa, he doesn't do it so much now, he's 10. But when he was about 6, Papa, can you pretend? Let's pretend for a minute that the Holy Spirit was walking through, but before Jesus was baptized. Okay? So here's Jesus, he walks through town, there's a blind person on the corner, he can't do anything about it. And the amazing thing is, if the Holy Spirit can walk through town, if that's possible, and he walks right by that same blind person. Now, here's all power. Raw, unlimited power. The one that in the very beginning was hovering, brooding, I think it says, brooding over the face of the deep. Just raw power, just waiting for God to speak. And wow, whatever God said, pow, that's what happened because of the power of the Holy Ghost. So here's the Holy Ghost. He's walking by a blind person too. And the amazing thing is, he can't do anything about it either. It takes both. It takes the agent of authority, which once Jesus was baptized and overcame the devil, this is now my son. He is the agent of authority, but now he's co-laboring with the Holy Ghost because the Holy Ghost is the agent of power. That's why, are we still in Acts 10:38? That's why it says here, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. We just talked about the very day that that happened, and with power. And from that point on, he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. God who? God was with him before. What's he talking about? God the Holy Ghost. God the Holy Ghost. I'm going to tell you right now, God the Holy Ghost is with you. God the Holy Ghost is with me. God's doing everything he can to get the unbelief out of us. He's given us, I believe, the best pastor slash teacher slash evangelist in Dave Roberson. I feel so humbled that I've even got to hear the things that I've got to hear. I've had the opportunity to hear. God, I'm glad I'm still not sitting in those churches. And I love them even as I say that. We have a shot. We have a shot. We have a chance. God's highly favored us. Well, you look around at the parking lot and the carpet and the chairs. You say, well, it doesn't look like it. No, yeah, it does. I'm talking about a different realm, a whole different world than that. We have a shot to present to the world the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Not in wisdom that man's wisdom teaches, but in demonstration of the Spirit and in power. We have a shot. And not just once in a while with the gifts either. We have a shot for that anointing to rest on us the same way it rested on him. Go to John 5 just for a minute. Just going to be there for a moment today. Now, this is my favorite verse in the Bible. I'm just going to barely touch on it tonight. Jesus here says, I can of my own self do nothing. Well, let's stop for a minute. Could he do anything before he got baptized in the Holy Ghost? You're afraid. No. Not when it comes to the miraculous. He couldn't. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is just. Why is it? Because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. Boy, that has to be us. That has to be us. Now, there's freedom of choice. I mentioned the other day, 1 Corinthians 7, Paul basically left it up to them. He's saying, some of you are thinking about getting married. He says, my counsel is, because of the persecution right now, probably not the smartest thing you could do, but if you decide to get married, it's up to you. You haven't sinned. There's free will all over the place. Even Ananias and Sapphira, they didn't have to sell that property. He said, while it was in your possession, wasn't it yours to do with what you want? And even after you sold it, couldn't you do whatever you wanted to with the money? See, we're not into fatalism here. There's free will all over the place. How many of you think Jesus had free will? Sure, he had free will, but he freely surrendered it to the will of the Father. Now, with him, see, I look at Dave, and I'm so grateful to have a pastor that I can follow. I mean, Dave, to me, is so he's so much farther down the love trail than me that I just thank God there's a path for me to follow that I can thank God, you know. But that doesn't mean he's perfect. See, I can't look at everything. But with Jesus, I can. The perfect image. Completely sold out. Absolute free will. He said, I could pray to my Father. This is right before the cross. I could, I think it's when Peter cut off the guy's ear and all that turmoil is going on. He says, I could ask my Father and he would send, 12 legions of angels? You know, that's enough angels to destroy the whole world. What would be the purpose? What was he talking about there? He said, you know, if I asked my Father, he would send 12 legions of angels and I wouldn't have to go to the cross. You talk about free will. Yeah, he had free will. That's why he had to agonize 3 times in the garden. Not my will. But thine be done. Not my will. Had to go back 3 times. That's just astounding to me. It gives me, when the enemy comes and makes me feel like such a panty waste, I know he doesn't you, but he does me. Because I'm struggling with something little, you know. At least I can remember, oh, my Lord knows what it's like to struggle with a will. He'll strengthen me. I can do this. I can do this, Father, not my will. Not my will, but thine be done. Yes, sir, my God, I understand. Now, go over 1 chapter, John 6. Verse 28. Well, if this is not the question of the prayer center. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Is that not our question? What must we do? I mean, you said that we're to go far enough into you to bring a supernatural revival to a religious city. You said the works that you do shall we do also. Lord, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And notice it's plural. What shall we do that we might work the works, plural, of God? But when he answers them, he brings it back down singular. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work, singular. There's only one work for us. If you want to work the works, plural, you got to do the work, singular. But what is that? But the way it's worded here, this is the work of God that you believe on him whom he had sent. Well, we've done that in the sense of being born again. But one day the Holy Ghost just had me do it like this. This is the work of God. And he had me underline the next 3 words. That you believe. And that's what he said. All things are possible to him that what? Why didn't it happen when we... God, I wish there was some other answer. I still remember that day. Prayed for that little baby with the knots on its head. Little baby's been in heaven now all these years. Prayed. You talk about milking every fiber. I know I milked everything in me for faith. I know I did. And I know everybody else was doing the same thing. And I also know... I know that I know. I don't care how many, they could have 42 preachers in here telling me it wasn't the will of God to heal that baby, and I call them a liar to their face, every one of them. Because I know, I'd already come to that place where Jesus stood up off the page and walked in my heart. I know Jesus would walk right over there and heal that baby. You'll never convince me. You burn me at the stake, I'll still be saying it. I've seen Jesus. I've seen him in the Gospels. I've seen the will of the Father. He'd walk right over there and raise it. He would have raised that baby right up and it'd be alive today. But what is the work? Gary, prayer center, that you believe. What did he tell them? Why didn't it happen when we prayed? Because of your unbelief. Is there any cure? This kind. Not this kind of devil. He didn't say it was a big bad devil. He said the problem was your unbelief. This kind of what? This kind of unbelief. It comes out by prayer and by fasting. Prayer and fasting. Don't you wish you could find a church that taught about prayer and fasting? It won't be the biggest church in town. Probably won't have the chandeliers and the fancy carpets. Probably won't be lots of Lexuses up, you know. At least not yet. I'm not against any of those things. I'd be even more ashamed. I hate to use that word. I'm just talking about me, not you. That was bad enough, having to live through that the way it is. What if we had the fanciest building and the chandeliers and the... And that's what our lives were about. God, I don't know if I could bear it. That little baby die. I don't know that I could bear that. Thank God at least our lives aren't about that anymore. Look at verse 38, John 6, 38. See, these go right hand in hand. This is the work of God that you believe. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. That's why he could save you. You want to see the Father? I am the will of the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Now, don't pollute what you've seen with your circumstances. Don't water down the truth. Stand up like men and women and take it like a man. If it's my unbelief, in a way that's good news. See, because I can't change the devil, really. I can't change God. I can't change God's word, but thank God I can be changed. And what I believe can change. This is the work that I believe. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down high things that would exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. We've all seen people die. You know, you hear cancer and the first thing you think of is death. I think the first thing Jesus thought of is my Father's will is to heal that. I think that's the first thing on his mind. We've seen so much that we've probably trained our mouth, at least with each other, not to speak so much doubt and unbelief, but in the quiet times, we're going to have to work on the part of us that believes. Until truly we are like that glass where the light can shine through unhindered. From that realm to this. This is the year that we sell out to him. This is fell out. I didn't even know that I even still had that in my Bible. I turned the page and it fell out. This is the year where we sell out to him. There's going to be great division in the church. And I'm talking about the prayer center. With good intentions, but great warfare. Some will stay, some will go. And I'm telling you, that's okay. It is the year of selling out to him. Whatever his will is, I don't live unto myself anymore. Verse 38, for I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Yes, sir. Go to Luke 11. If you haven't heard that prophecy, it was delivered on December 29th. It was the last service of 2013. And I think we're right in the midst of that. Luke 11 is the Lord's Prayer. But the teaching that surrounds it in Luke 11 is a little different than how he taught it in Matthew's account. So let's just pick it up here. It says, it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Now remember, they had been watching Jesus. You know, if you read the Gospels, you'll see he'd spend all night in prayer. He'd go off by himself. Him and the Father would be communing. God, I would love to be in the middle of some of those. I'd like to be a fly on the wall and hear what was spoken. Anyway. But they'd watch this pattern. He would go pray and spend time with his Father. And then when he'd get in front of the people, Man, miracles would flow. Blind eyes open, deaf ears open. They'd watch legs and arms, the maimed, just grow out. So we see a pattern. You go pray, and then stuff happens. Would you teach us how to pray? So he does. Of course, we thought it would be some big secret prayer, but it's the Lord's Prayer. He says, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And notice the very first thing, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. As in heaven, so in earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You cannot separate those two things. Now what you've got to remember is that the Father's will is seldom done on planet earth. I'm sorry to tell you that. Let me ask you this. Does the Bible plainly say that the Father is not willing that any should perish? They're perishing by the millions. And not one of them is it the Father's will. When he says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, what he means is the same way that you see him in that image of Acts 10:38, where he's going about anointed by the Holy Ghost, going about doing good, healing all that are oppressed of the devil. Everywhere he's going, he's manifesting the will of God, which is the kingdom of God. That's exactly what we're supposed to do. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as it is in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, now here he starts teaching about answered prayer. That's how I know what they were really after. How do you get results, Jesus? What is it about prayer? Because in Matthew 6, he focused on their daily bread and not to worry about so much about their stuff. You know, seek ye first the kingdom of God. But now notice here, he says, which of you shall have a friend and shall go to him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. But notice these loaves are not for you. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. Now let's stop for a minute. Just don't go by it too quick. See, this guy, at least his thinking has graduated from me, myself, my four, no more. Well, how do I serve the bread? I need bread to give to my friend. Jesus said, healing is the children's bread, didn't he? Dave talks about the table that the Father has set. It's got healing and salvation and deliverance and all of the things that God wants. And what are we supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be serving from the Father's table to a lost world, are we not? Okay? So he says, well, I've come to get bread. I need bread for them. This is when you pray, the baby lives. When you pray, they get healed. When you pray, it happens. A friend of mine in his journey has come, and I have nothing to set before him. And from within, he shall answer and say, this is what most people think about God. Trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. And they've prayed like we prayed, and it didn't happen. And if you're not careful, you'll start thinking God is like that. We needed bread for that baby. We didn't get bread. He must not have given us the bread. Well, that's what people tend to think. He says here, by the way, the Holy Spirit asked me a question one time. He said, do you even have any friends like that? I said, Lord, I don't even think I even have any acquaintances like that. Sure, certainly not a friend. If I come to your house at 3 a.m, I'm not saying you'll like it. But if I come to your house at 3 a.m, I said, it's a serious case. I got somebody literally starving to death. Have you got a biscuit? Can I have a leftover piece of bread of anything? You going to turn me away? I don't even think my next door neighbor, Sam. I've never eaten a meal in their house. They've never eaten a meal in my house. We just, hey, how you doing? But if I went to Sam next door, an acquaintance, and told him it was a serious situation, I've got a friend starving, could I have a heel off the end of your loaf of bread? Sam would give it to me. I don't even have any acquaintances like this, but religion will tell you God is like that. And your experiences will tell you that if you're not careful. You'll think, well, I prayed and the baby died. It must not be God's will. He didn't give me the bread. No, the problem's not with the bread giver. You'll see that in a minute. That is the whole point of this. We're double-minded in what we think about God. We're double-minded, like maybe he will, maybe he won't. We've got to get past that. There was no maybe he will with Jesus. He's teaching it real plain right here. He said, you want to have results like I had results? You've got to get past this kind of thinking. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he's his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. In other words, even in the world, even if there was somebody that hard-hearted, persistence would still get it. You could even get it from a mean, nasty human. Selfish human. And you're telling me you can't get it from an all-loving God? See? He's starting to already draw that comparison here. He says, I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. There's no double-mindedness in that at all. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives. This does not match our history. This does not match what I've seen in the past, see? It doesn't match with me either. But I'm not going to change what Jesus said to match my circumstances. I'm going to stay with what Jesus said, and it'll change the circumstances. He says, quit being double-minded. That's the whole purpose of this right here. He says, I'm telling you, if you ask, you will receive. If you knock, the door will be open. To him that seeketh, you will find. He says, and he just tries to get it down to family now. He says, can you get past the religion for just a minute? He's already talking to them like family, see, even though they won't be born again for a little while yet. He says, look, I know you understand family. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? I mean, you're all going, well, that's no father would do that. If you then being evil, and all he means is compared to God, okay, know how to give good gifts unto your children. What's he saying? You're going to give what they ask for. If he asks for an egg, you're going to give him an egg. If he asks for bread, you're going to give him bread. If he needs a fish, you're going to give him a fish. You're going to give what they ask for. He says, if you know how to give good gifts like that to your children. Now notice how he words this. There's tons of revelation in this. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Now if we're not going to change the subject, we're still talking about answered prayer. This is your MasterCard. This is your one card purchases all. See, this is not just for healing. This is not just for casting out devils. This is not just for get somebody saved. This is not just for walking on water if you need to walk on water. This is your MasterCard, and it is the Holy Ghost. He says, if you ask, how does God give you the bread? He teams you up with the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost is the molecule changer. He is the bread manifester. And I don't care what it is you need. Really, what it is that person needs. What it is Tulsa needs. The Father has already said, Jesus already told us. The Father, he'll give you the Holy Spirit to manifest that answer every time. I double dog dare you to say this now. Say, every time I pray, no matter my history, no matter what I've seen in the past, when I ask my Father in prayer for anything, he gives me the Holy Spirit to manifest that answer every time. I go about doing good healing all that are oppressed of the devil, because I've been anointed with the same Holy Ghost, and I've been given the name of Jesus to tell the people the kingdom of God is at hand and then manifest it for them. Hallelujah. That's us. That's revival. Now, if there's anything in you that's double-minded, if he's reminding me of what Dave says to me, he said it many times over the years. You've heard him say it too. Don't stop praying the mysteries. See, there is double-mindedness, or call it unbelief, or call it something. Otherwise, Dave says, if it wasn't for that, we'd already be in the revival. God's not withholding it from us. If the only work is that we believe, then let's use the weapons of warfare we've been given. Use them on the part of us that does not believe until we do believe. How would you do that? All of the weapons we've been taught. I thank God again for this church. I thank God for Pastor Dave and the revelation knowledge. Yes, sir. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and do this. I'm going to close with a commercial for Dave's website. I'm telling you, I've heard every series that's there. I've read everything that's there in the way of books. But sometimes it's a long time since I have. Recently, I had a reason to. He's got a mini. There's a lot of mini books there, but one of the mini books is called, I believe it's the title is How to Be Led by the Spirit of God, or it might be called How to Be Led by the Holy Spirit, but it's the mini book. I hadn't read that. I bet you it's been 15 years since I read it, or 10 years at least. It was so refreshing. Read it again. You don't have to have the little mini book in your hand. I read it in PDF format. You can read it right there. You can print it out on regular paper. How to Be Led by the Spirit of God. It's in media and in books. You know? One of the first things you'll learn in there, you know the number one reason why most people, they can't be led by the inner witness? They don't know how to tell the difference between peace in their emotions and peace in their spirit. How many of you know most emotions are not quiet in the middle of the lion's den? How many of you know that the psalmist had to learn, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Thou art with me. Anyway, that little book is worth, it's a life changer. It's worth its weight in gold. There is so many tools there. But again, it's not just the hearing that changes us. It's the doing that changes us. Man, it was so good to read that again. I've had experience after experience. But I'm telling you right now, you can be right in the center of God's will. Be full of peace in your spirit. I mean, absolute peace. And your emotions going crazy. But that's where you'll learn the difference, how to be led by His Spirit. See? Okay, I quit. DaveRoberson.org. I highly recommend it. Everything. What do you recommend about it? Everything. If there's any series you have not heard, hear it. If there's any book you have not read, read it. Get it in you. That is the DNA of the prayer center right there. That is the DNA of it. Amen. Father, I feel a release now. I think I've obeyed you, Lord. Father, only way I know how to pray after that. Father, your word says to the humble, you give more grace. Father, I believe every one of us right now is humbling ourselves in your sight. Father, give us more grace. Help us drive double-mindedness from us. Help us become so focused on your will. Just like Jesus had to be so focused and know that he knows that he knows what your will is. That every situation you send us into, Lord, your kingdom is manifest. And your will is accomplished. Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Everybody say this. Amen, amen.